On this most holy night, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ instituted both the ministerial priesthood of the new covenant and the most holy Eucharist, giving men the power to change bread and wine into his precious body, blood, soul, and divinity. These are indeed glorious gifts. For many people, they are unbelievable that Jesus would give mere men a share in his one eternal priesthood, and that he would find a way to be with us always by giving us his very own body and blood as food for our journey. As Bishop Barron often says, the church comes from the Eucharist, and the Eucharist comes from priests. This means we wouldn't have the church without the Eucharist, and we wouldn't have the Eucharist without priests. Going backwards, priests give us the Eucharist, and the Eucharist gives birth to the church. And the Eucharist is indeed the source and summit of our lives. The Eucharist, as I like to say, is at the same time the Lake Itasca and the Gulf of Mexico. The source and summit of the Mississippi River. The Eucharist is the source, the beginning. And it is also where everything is flowing toward. Our Lord instituted the priesthood of the new covenant and the most holy Eucharist in the context of celebrating the Jewish Passover. This is very clear from the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which tell us, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And Jesus says, "Go into the city and you will find a man carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Whatever house he enters, say to the owner, 'Where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus sat at table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." It's absolutely clear that Jesus instituted the ministerial priesthood and the most holy Eucharist at the Passover. In order to understand what Jesus did at the Last Supper, we have to study the Passover and to see how Jesus brought it to fulfillment. The first reading tonight is one of the most important passages in the whole Old Testament. It describes the first Passover. Traditionally, today's first reading was read every year on Good Friday. There are four things about the Passover. First, you had to choose an unblemished male lamb. The lamb had to be male, and it had to be perfect. No defects. Couldn't be maimed or lame or diseased. Jesus, of course, himself brings that to fulfillment. For when John the Baptist sees Jesus Christ come on the scene of the divine drama, 1,500 years later, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." The Passover lamb had to be without blemish, and St. Peter, the first pope, says no deceit was found in his mouth. Hebrews says he was tempted in every way that we are, and yet never sinned, and so he was perfect. The second thing that had to happen is that you had to sacrifice the lamb. On the 14th day of the month of Nisan, which was the first month of the Jewish year, it was the month of the vernal equinox, of the day of spring. Spring was the first month of the Jewish year. And on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, the first full moon after the first day of spring, the lamb was slaughtered at evening twilight, which at this time of year was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you were watching yesterday as three human persons launched off to the moon, just a few hours later at 9:11 Central Daylight Time, was the first full moon of spring. Yes, Passover is always, always associated with the first moon of spring. So here we are. And Jesus is slaughtered at evening twilight at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Moses was very clear to tell the Israelites in Exodus 12:46. He said, "Don't you dare break any of the bones of the lamb." Exodus 12:46. We'll read tomorrow that they didn't break any of Jesus' bones. And all the Israelites knew that only a priest could offer a blood sacrifice. In ancient Israel, only a priest could pour out the blood of a sacrifice. Only ordained priests could offer the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, every father of a family was a priest until the golden calf incident happened. And after the golden calf incident happened, Moses says, okay, who's going to be faithful to me? And only the Levites were faithful. And so only the Levites were ordained priests at that moment. And only the Levites could offer a sacrifice. Fortunately, Jesus is both priest and victim, the one who offers the sacrifice and the one being offered. The third thing is that once the lamb was sacrificed, you had to apply the blood of the lamb to the wood of the two doorposts and the lintel. This blood applied to the wood of the doorposts and the lintel was an indelible permanent mark which soaked into the wood permanently. And if you look at ancient lintels, you know, the lintel is the part above the door. It wasn't always so perfect. It extended out beyond the two doorposts. Doorposts, lintel. Oh, it looks like a cross. And so the blood of Jesus had to be sprinkled on the blood, stained into the wood of the cross for our salvation. Fourth and finally, we're not over yet. The best part is yet to come. It wasn't over. Once the lamb had been sacrificed, once the blood had been stained into the wood of the cross, of the doorpost and the lintel, you weren't done. It said in today's first reading that you had to eat of the roasted flesh of the lamb. I don't know if you noticed, three times in today's first reading, you had to eat of the lamb. You probably noticed the way I read the gospel accounts. Jesus and the disciples talk about eating the Passover lamb. What if you don't like lamb? But if you're a vegetarian, well, guess what? Your firstborn son dies. That's the truth. If you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But if you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will live forever. The Passover sacrifice was not completed by the death of the lamb. It was not completed by the sprinkling of the blood on the doorposts. It was completed once you ate the flesh of the Lamb of God. And if you take a look carefully at Exodus chapter 12, where all of this is described, in Exodus chapter 12, verses 43 through 49, Moses made it very clear that it was not an open table. Only Israelites could eat the flesh of the sacrificed lamb. And if foreigners wanted to eat of it, the males had to be circumcised and become Jewish. That's a symbolic nature of baptism, which we'll be celebrating in just 2 days. For our friends who are not yet baptized, but who want to eat the flesh of the Lamb of God. And yes, they can eat the flesh of the Lamb of God, but first, they have to become Catholic and be baptized. And how are they to eat it? It says, this is how you are to eat it, with your loins girt, with sandals on your feet, and staff in hand. In other words, get ready to leave. You better be standing and eating at the door with staff in hand, your shoes already on your feet, and your loins girt ready to take off. Because the Passover inaugurates the Exodus. You're going to be leaving slavery and bondage in Egypt, and you're going to be entering freedom and the promised land. Eating of the flesh of the sacrificed lamb was food for the journey. And indeed, the Lord's body and blood is food for our journey to the promised land of heaven. And the ultimate goal is a Passover. That's how the gospel began. I don't know if you caught that tonight. How did the gospel begin? Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. This is the ultimate goal, a Passover. And a Passover for us. Deliverance from death through the blood of the Lamb and eating of its flesh. So that when the angel of death sees the blood stained on the doorways of our lips, when the angel sees that we have eaten the flesh of the Lamb of God, then our firstborn sons and firstborn daughters, and secondborn sons and thirdborn daughters, and none of us have to die. We can truly live. This is the great joy of this holy night. What a great joy it is to offer this sacrifice for you as a priest. This is my number one most important thing. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this. This is the most important thing that I do all day, every day, at least once a day, that I offer this sacrifice of the Lamb for you and eat of its flesh so that we don't have to die, so that the angel of death can pass over us, so that we can live. For unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But if you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you will live forever. Amen.